Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable, God, in your sight. Amen. There's a story of a church that was built way up in the high mountains of Switzerland. I think it's a fable, but fables have meaning too, don't they? It was a beautiful church. It had been built with great care by the villagers who lived nearby. But there was one thing about that church. Can you guess what it maybe was missing? Any thought after hearing the scripture read this morning? Try a little more. What do you see out of windows? North. Light. There was no lights inside. You have beautiful chandeliers in here. They didn't have anything. They had pegs on the wall, and so what would happen every Sunday as people would come to church, they would come up the mountainside, and something magic would happen. The bell would ring, and they would wind up that way to the church, and they'd enter, and all of a sudden the church would light up because they came with their lanterns, and there were pegs all over the wall that they'd post their lanterns on and light them. There were few people. Well, light was probably pretty dim. But when the church was fuller, the light was bright, and it could be seen for miles and miles. It was a witness, a sign, when the light was on, that all was well. God was with them, and in their presence, they worshiped. In God's presence, they worshiped together. The only time it was lit up was when the people were actually inside. That's when it was truly the church. That's when the light shone most brightly. And so it is today. We carry in us the very light of Christ when we gather together to worship. This is truly when this place becomes a church, a place where God's light is seen. Jesus said that you are the light of the world. And Jesus asks us to show his love to everyone when we are here so that his light might give hope to everyone when we leave, so that his light might continue to shine in this world. The love of God in Christ Jesus, the very light of the world, is intended to shine in and through our daily affairs. We're supposed to have this illuminated and illuminating quality. Another place in the scripture says, let your light so shine before others that they might see your good deeds and give glory to God in heaven. Does your life do that? Is mine? Sometimes I can say my light's pretty dim or maybe even almost out. You are the light of the world. Jesus said this to his followers. These are words from the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in the early books of Matthew. It's only a small part of Jesus' dissertation about what it means to live in this world. You are the light of the world. It's a claim on those who have gathered. It's the assurance what Jesus' followers are and what they will be. You are the light of the world, Jesus said so long ago, and continues to declare today, you and I are the light of the world. So let your light shine. There's a light within you that is good. There's a light within you that is of God. There's a light in you that needs to be seen. I think for a moment of the children in this world that have never been told they are light of anybody's world. And it breaks my heart. I think for a moment of people stuck in an abusive situation, allowing their light to be crushed, and I want to scream out loud. I think for a moment of youth that only want to hide and be invisible, so that they don't draw attention to themselves. And it disturbs me deeply to know that they've never been told you were created in the very image of God, the light of God created at the very moment of creation. That is within you. Hear Jesus crying to you again. You are the light of the world. And so we're encouraged to shine on and to shine out every day. Who knows? If you try it, you might like it. Even more people might like it and might be moved in terms of their own personal lives. As individuals and as a congregation, if we continue to do this or begin to do this, we might gain confidence in our identity as God's chosen and beloved children, those who are called to be light in this world and in gaining this confidence, might truly become more what we've been named. You know that little saying you probably learned as a young person, that Confucius saying, it's better to light one small candle than to curse the darkness. There is much to complain or worry about in this world, is there not, particularly right now? Seems to be a lot of evil and confusion and terrorism and fear and suffering and darkness. This little proverb suggests that we could do something about it, not just talk and complain about it, as I find myself doing often. No matter how small the candle we light, no matter how insignificant our positive action, it can and will have an effect. He goes on, Jesus does, and he says, we are the light of the world. That's a pretty powerful statement. Yes, we light candles, we do things, we make a difference, but we also are the candle. We are the children of God. We are the difference in this world. Light is important. You know, for centuries, artists from across Northern Europe and America have spent their winters in Southern France. And of course, the weather's just lovely there. But more than the weather, what the people have learned is that the light is a different quality there. The way the light shines off the lily pond or illuminates the sunflowers or causes the sea to sparkle is indescribable. France's natural light has inspired some of the best Western visual art ever produced. If you are the light, not just through our acts, though certainly would be the case, but through our very character, we encourage people to see. With God's aid, we help people notice both the beauty and the need around them. We encourage the world to observe the spectacular and grimy. We remind them all that they too are the light, with the gift of themselves that needs to be shared and not hidden. We're called to be the light. Marianne Williamson, a 21st century person, and is she not running for office right now as one of the 24 or so people, has this wonderful quote. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, friends, it is in all of us. And when we let our own light shine, we are unconsciously giving other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Hear it again. Hear it again as he said it to his followers. You are the light of the world. You are, and you are right now. Not that you could be or should be. You don't have to tidy up your act or stiffen your willpower to commence trying. And maybe you don't have to wait 10 years. Some of us don't have 10 years to wait. You don't have to work, get things cleared up before the end of the year to be able to do this. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, now go off, learn these creeds, sign this mission and vision statement, undertake these spiritual exercises, pray at least 2 hours a day, read 2 chapters of the Bible each day, and then you need to fast and meditate, and then you'll become the light of the world. He didn't say that. What our Lord said was immediate, more God-smacking, surprise, by trusting the unexpected, honorable grace of God as it flows through you in my words and deeds. You are now, friends, the light of the world. It's not our light, but it is God's light. Not our strenuous efforts, but pure grace. In the text in Matthew, Jesus orders us to serve as lamps for one another. Not stars that only dazzle and inspire. Jesus calls us to be lights in the world, not some kind of exploding supernova. Alas, there seems to be a lot more Christians who want to be stars than who are willing to be lamps. As a child, do you remember singing the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine? I loved it. It was one of my favorite kids' songs. The only problem with that song, as one author points out, is that it focuses exclusively on a single beam of light emitted by our singular small lights. Jesus wanted us to think corporately about the illuminating power he generates in each of us. The city built on a hill is not noticed because a lone light flickers in the window. is the combined wattage, the array of lights, each burning in its own place, but for a common purpose, that sets the city ablaze in the midst of dark and dreary night. There are lamps that cannot throw some light on some darkened portion of a traveler's pathway. Take confidence in the potential of your lamp, for its light source is truly unquenchable. The psalmist reminds us that the eternal flame of the Scripture is always available for additional fuel. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, we read in Psalm 119. And what's more, in your light we see light, we read in Psalm 36. As disciples of our Lord, lights of the world, we have been fully qualified. We need only to let our lamp shine, that others may see and find the way and the truth and the life, and be led in this world. When Jesus says, "Let your light shine," he's not giving us a pep talk. This isn't a motivational speech. Richard Rohr has suggested that Jesus is a teacher of vulnerability more than anything else. If this is true, then Jesus is inviting us to come out of ourselves, to forsake our human certainties, and to make ourselves a gift of unbounded love. In all the seasons of our lives, we wrestle and we rage against darkness, trusting that in and through our struggles and fears and our confusion and doubt, our loss and our lack of what can be, that we can have hope of being the light of the world. In every age, we know that light means many things, not the least of them, hope. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, he spoke of Jesus recalling the words of the prophet Isaiah that went this way: "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who feel lost or in despair or confused, those who have no idea of which way to turn, on them the light truly has dawned." In Jesus Christ, we find our way and we turn. We're called then to be the body of Christ in the world today. Jesus tells us, "Let your light shine before others, to let the good things that we do rather than us bring glory and radiate God's own goodness and love in this world." The church, for all its vision, is overpowered, outnumbered, and often overlooked, writes the contemporary theologian Tom Long. He says the challenge is indeed formidable for a small group trying with mixed results to live out an alternative life, set down in the midst of teeming, fast-changing culture that neither appreciates nor understands them. The hardest part is not being Christian for a day, but being faithful day after day, maintaining confidence in what for all the world appears to be a losing cause. This text provides us a powerful reminder to Jesus' disciples of who they are and what Jesus calls them to do in this world. No matter how great the obstacles that they face, our calling isn't about institutional survival. And let me tell you, that's been on my heart a lot lately. But something much greater. Long goes on and says, Jesus is saying that what the people of God do in this world really counts. Jesus is saying that the people of God do in this world really counts. The church is no secret society. Jesus tells from the very beginning, or as Eugene Peterson translated in the Message, this way: "We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a lampstand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives." As we strive to live faithfully in this world, we may be small, but we're mighty, not because of our own strength, but because of God's own grace, which will never leave us, ever leave us on our own. So shine on, shine on. There's work to be done before the dawn. There's work to be done. So each of us, we've got to shine on.